This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie. When you use Angie for your home projects, you know all your jobs will be done well. Roof repair? Done well. Kitchen sink install? Done well. Deck upgrades? Done well. Electrical upgrade? Done well. Angie's been connecting homeowners with skilled pros for nearly 30 years, so we know the difference between done and done well. Hire high-quality pros at Angie.com.
Confronting high credit card debt can feel scary. But the good news is, if you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, financial relief options are now available. National Debt Relief is currently offering debt relief designed to reduce what you owe, fast-tracking your way to being debt-free. If you qualify for debt relief, you may be able to pay back significantly less than what you owe and save thousands of dollars. Imagine only paying one low monthly program payment you can afford and saving money as you become debt-free. National Debt Relief has already helped bring debt relief to over 550,000 U.S. consumers, earning thousands of five-star reviews and an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. You're stronger than your credit card debt. Take the first step and visit nationaldebtrelief.com to see what debt relief you qualify for. That's nationaldebtrelief.com.
Folks, as we just came off an incredible 2025 year, sports year, I should say, sports calendar year, we go into 2026. And here to talk to us about that is Jay Cicero, President and CEO of the Greater New Orleans Sports Foundation. That organization is responsible for a whole lot of bookings for our sports events. Jay, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Newell. Appreciate you having me on.
Jay, it was quite a 2025, wasn't it?
It certainly was. It started off with the bang, and it was Super Bowl, and then although we don't run the Sugar Bowl, I'd say although it was 2026, January 1, the Sugar Bowl was certainly an incredible event for the city of New Orleans, and a lot of other great events in between. UFC national championships for for gymnastics, USA national championships. And, of course, all the other annual events that happened every year here in New Orleans, great, great sporting events. So just excited for that and excited for 2026.
Well, you know how this works, Jay. You're only as good as your most recent booking, right? And what have you done for me lately?
Well, that's not necessarily true, however, because of the cyclical nature of these events, but it is hard to top a Super Bowl year. There's no doubt about that.
I knew you would appreciate that and have a comeback. So what do we have coming up in 2026?
Well, we've got Sports Foundations working on several events. Savannah Bananas, of course, coming to the Caesars Superdome here in March. And then we have
that's a two-night gig, right?
Two-night gig on March 14th and 15th. They're hot as can be. We've got Hondo Rodeo Fest coming, a new event here in New Orleans. Really excited about that. WWE's Money in the Bank coming on Labor Day, actual Labor Day itself, September 6th. And then New Orleans Bowl. This year, we celebrated our 25th anniversary of the New Orleans Bowl. Next year, or this current year, will be our 26th, but looking forward to that also. And then, you never know, there might be some other events we announce in between now and the end of the year.
Yeah. So, when we talk about sport events and financing of same, I mean, these are very costly propositions. You're in a lot of competition with a lot of different cities. Talk to us about how that works.
The competition for sporting events is absolutely fierce, and I think other cities now are are trying to do what New Orleans has been doing for, you know, 40 to 50 years since the Caesar Superdome was built and was the Louisiana Superdome way back when. There's new stadiums with roofs being built all over the country. They're planning for the next several years. But there's also facilities and convention centers that have been expanded significantly over the past 20, 25 years. And they really want what New Orleans has kind of perfected to host events and to host major events, especially sporting events, since the nature of them brings so much economic impact and incredible media exposure that comes along with them. So competition is fierce all the way from Los Angeles all the way to now going to be Washington, D.C. with a new stadium sometime in the next 5 years. And we're just excited to still be in the mix and to still be focused on bringing economic impact and media exposure to our great state.
You mentioned dome stadiums. Obviously, that puts a lot of that is being driven by access to a Super Bowl, right? Because it's almost one of the requirements now. They love to remove the weather because it has such a significant impact on the revenue. When we think about competing in 2031, have y'all identified who we are competing against for that 2031 Super Bowl?
We have not. And first of all, congratulations to Mrs. Benson and Governor Landry on scheduling a very important meeting with NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell regarding that invitation to bid on 2031 Super Bowl. And from all reports, the meeting went very well. And we're now awaiting information from the league on the next steps in the process. This is a really busy time for the league for the NFL with playoffs, Pro Bowl, and a 26th Super Bowl happening over the next 4 weeks. So we hope to hear from them soon.
Because this is the presentation that you put on for this solicitation is a costly endeavor too. I mean, you know, it's not like it probably was when you first started. It's a lot slicker today than it's ever been, right?
Well, all these events, you know, that we bid upon and manage or assist others in managing, they all have a financial repercussion to them. You know, you've got to be able to compete with other cities in order to be able to host these events. And, you know, the state of Louisiana, the governor's office, and Louisiana Economic Development have been extremely supportive of our efforts to continue to be one of the leaders in the country and hopefully be a future leader in the country for these major events.
Do you see this changing, Jay, as it relates to this cost structure, so to speak, as a result of what's going on with NIL and the NCAA? I mean, these numbers, I mean, you're probably sitting back saying, oh, my God, where is this going to end?
Well, we've been saying that for a number of years.
it's nothing new, right? You know,
it's nothing new. It just continues to get more expensive to host men's Final Fours, women's Final Fours, and other, you know, major events that we bid upon and manage. And, you know, the requirements, of course, they pit each city against other cities. And that's what these new stadiums, you know, they may have, if they're in a northern city, they may get a Super Bowl once. But they will be actively participating in bids for men's Final Fours and CFP National Championship games and other events that are designed for dome stadiums across the country. So competition is going to get increased, and therefore the price will go up naturally for these events, because these new stadiums are going to really want these events that we've been hosting for a number of years to come to their new palaces, so to speak, across the country.
But from the NCAA perspective, I mean, when their cost structure goes up with the dollars that they're associating with NIL, right, from inside of the university, mm-hmm. as opposed to what I forgot the nomenclature now, but I know that there's a difference. There's multiple NIL programs going on. They're going to be looking for a way to recapture that money, right?
I assume they will. I mean, it's not – the NCAA has always demanded a premium for a men's Final Four. You know, it's, it is their number one largest basketball event that there is. And it is an incredible event. We've hosted six of those in the Superdome since it was built. And that's not necessarily a record, but it's certainly at the top for hosting a men's Final Four. We've hosted three men's Final Fours. Would have been four, except the COVID year got canceled right 2 weeks prior to the event. And, you know, we'll be looking at men's and women's Final Fours again starting next year for 2032, 2033, and 2034. So we're working a number of years out trying to get these commitments for events, and having to make, you know, financial and operational commitments is really what the Sports Foundation does.
What would you see as the biggest challenge for you guys and, you know, for the city? I mean, when I think about it, like, because I talk to you and others about a lot of what goes in here, and then I read these population numbers where the out migration is greater than the in migration. I start connecting all of these dots. I'm sure you are too. It's really a pause for concern.
I mean, I'm not sure that you know, the NCAA is looking at the out migration for the city.
No, but I'm talking about you guys and funding and financing to be able to lure these things here, right?
I see your point. I think that what Governor Landry and Louisiana Economic Development have been doing across the state of Louisiana could be a tremendous boost in our favor. These new corporations making billion-dollar investments in our state, and having either a headquarters or a major operation in the state of Louisiana can certainly help us. So, you know, it's really corporate dollars that that help support these events. Now, certainly ticket sales, and what you're really gearing towards, I think, is ticket sales for events like Savannah Bananas or the Hondo Rodeo Fest and Money in the Bank and New Orleans Bowl. You know, yeah, that really does concern us that there would be some out-migration of folks who could attend our events. But hopefully there's an influx of corporate support that will help offset all that.
Yeah. It's interesting to see how all of this is going to change, because it's not just like NIL and college sports now. It's transfer portal. I mean, you can re-engineer, remodel an entire team in the span of, you know, less than a season, and come up with a whole different, you know, product and the demands that puts on everything downstream.
You know, it does. And it also, you know, it does put demands on. And I think it's never good to have confusion in the marketplace. And whereas in the past you maybe had 2 or 3 years where you could have a player on LSU's football team or on Tulane's football team that you could follow, you're right. You don't know what the roster is going to be year to year. And with the transfer portal being incredibly busy, incredibly active, it's hard to grow your obsession with your favorite team. Because of that. It's kind of like Major League Baseball. When you had all the players moving around so much, back in the day, but a long time ago when the players didn't move around as much as they do now, you really have a lot of allegiance to your team, and you're able to have a favorite team. Well, now it's very difficult to do that. And that could be a negative effect of the NIL and transfer portal, is that, you know, it's going to be hard to really pull for a team and have a consistent excitement about certain players on your team year over year. But, you know, it's the world in which we live in, and we all have to adjust.
You know, I'm kind of curious whether or not that's contributed to the success of, like, the Savannah Bananas. You know, when you talk about the intensity of what's going on, not only in collegiate sports, but in professional sports today. I mean, it's just, there's just so much energy that's consumed that there's a sector of the audience that's just like, I just want to be entertained. You know,
That's exactly right.
I don't want to suffer from the intensity. I don't want to leave aggravated, you know, where I have to drink three more beers to calm myself down. You know, I just want to go and have fun.
Your thoughts. Certainly provides that relief. They are one of the hottest acts in the country, sports acts in the country. And they have they've really kind of figured out this blend of sports and entertainment that's family oriented, banana ball, you know, fast paced, fan focused, unique rules. The games are in the last 2 hours, really focused on fan engagement, and they have created something special, and we're just delighted to have them here in March 14th and 15th at the Caesars Superdome.
It'd be interesting to see whether or not they like form a Savannah Banana League. You know, where
they have a couple of teams that are trying to do that. I think their banana ball is what it's called, and they are trying to form a league, and they have other teams that are involved in that league. But you know, whether or not they can do that and have enough support to be able to do it in multiple cities across the country is going to be very interesting. But certainly what they have now is a phenomenon.
Yeah. Final thoughts?
Well, just happy again, be working on these events again. And, you know, Hondo Rodeo Fest, I think people are going to love that, this event.
It's huge.
Kudos again to Governor Landry and his office. They led the charge to bring the event to New Orleans and you know, his support and his fandom of rodeo is really what kind of led to this event coming, and we're obviously working in support of them and Louisiana Economic Development. But what a great event, going to be April 10th through 12th in the Caesars Superdome. Major concerts along with the highest of rodeo competition here over those 3 days. Going to be great.
Yeah, I love watching rodeo. Every time it's on TV, I watch it. You know, I just think it's very entertaining, right? You know,
As far as competition is concerned, this is a Super Bowl of competition for rodeo. But
yeah,
they've got the festival music lineup: Jason Aldean, Leonard Skinner, Cody Johnson, Old Dominion, Bailey Zimmerman, Creed is even playing here over the 3 days. So it's a pretty unique setup and a unique business model that uses a lot of the major touring acts of music to grow the sport of rodeo, and that's what their main focus is, to grow the sport of rodeo.
Yeah. Some exciting days headed our way in 2026. Jay Cicero, President and CEO of the Greater New Orleans Sports Foundation, thank you so much for all that you and your organization does. Most people don't realize it's mostly volunteers, right?
Absolutely. I mean, we've got a very small staff and a lot of volunteers.
Yep, absolutely, and do a great job at that. Thank you so much, Jay, and best of luck in 2026.
Thank you, Newell. See you in Mass soon.
Absolutely. We'll be right back, folks. 504-260-1870 on the Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text Line.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What's up, world? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, chicken farmer, and now host of Free Range. This is a show where I go off the field and off the script. We're talking what's hot in music, film, trending news, and everything blowing up your feed. If you love football, you'll feel at home. But if you're here for the vibes, the internet deep dives, the conversation, this is your podcast. Join me every Wednesday. Follow and listen to Free Range with me, Von Miller everywhere you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie. When you use Angie for your home projects, you know all your jobs will be done well. Roof repair? Done well. Kitchen sink install? Done well. Deck upgrades? Done well. Electrical upgrade? Done well. Angie's been connecting homeowners with skilled pros for nearly 30 years, so we know the difference between done and done well. Hire high-quality pros at Angie.com.
Confronting high credit card debt can feel scary. But the good news is, if you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, financial relief options are now available. National Debt Relief is currently offering debt relief designed to reduce what you owe, fast-tracking your way to being debt-free. If you qualify for debt relief, you may be able to pay back significantly less than what you owe and save thousands of dollars. Imagine only paying one low monthly program payment you can afford and saving money as you become debt-free. National Debt Relief has already helped bring debt relief to over 550,000 U.S. consumers, earning thousands of five-star reviews and an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. You're stronger than your credit card debt. Take the first step and visit nationaldebtrelief.com to see what debt relief you qualify for. That's nationaldebtrelief.com.
You walk in tired and hungry, one bad dinner away from losing it. You don't like to cook. You don't want more takeout. You just want something good. That's why there's Dish by Blue Apron. Pre-made meals with at least 20 grams of protein and no artificial flavors or colors, from fridge to fork in 5 minutes or less. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Stay with us. Folks, we've been hearing a lot about the unrest in Iran, the protests going on there, and most recent reports is there could be as many as 1,000 people that were killed by the government that were protesting in opposition to the government. Here to talk to us about it is a senior policy analyst for Middle East and North Africa at the Heritage Foundation, Daniel Flesch. Daniel, welcome to the show.
Pleasure to be here, Newell. Thank you.
So, Daniel, I guess it's kind of hard to figure out exactly what's going on in Iran because they seem to have shut down all communications. It's very hard to get in there and figure out what it is. But what are you able to glean at this point in time?
Well, so it's very true. Beginning, I think it was last Friday, the Iranian government cut off internet access into and out of the country. So it's been an internet blackout for over 120 hours at this point. People might be hearing about that Starlink, which is Elon Musk's SpaceX satellite system, is active. That's true, but it's very limited. So the information we're getting out is sparse, but the picture is showing something very grim. You mentioned about 1,000 protesters have been killed. I see more recent reports from CBS saying that even 12 or even up to 20,000 might have been killed at this point.
Wow.
So it's really, and more to the point that because we're not getting a full picture, you can assume it's higher, maybe not higher than 20,000, but certainly higher than the previously believed number of a few hundred up to 1,000. And right now, the Iranian protesters, they are among the bravest and most courageous people on the planet Earth at this moment. They have been for some time. This is not the first protest that they have engaged in against their theocratic regime that's been in place since 1979. But currently, it is the most pronounced and perhaps the largest and most vociferous protest of some time. So there really is an opportunity to not only change the nature and the course of Iran and the regime there, but in so doing, change the trajectory of the Middle East and the world, all for the better.
In the most recent past, Daniel, it seems as though this female-led opposition relative to these protests has been growing exponentially. Do you have any information as to whether or not that's happening here again with this most recent one?
The current one is a little bit of a different makeup. The one you're referring to is from 2022, when a woman, a young woman by the name of Mahsa Amini, a Kurdish Iranian, she was detained by the Iranian police for improperly wearing her hijab, her headscarf. And in detention, she was beaten to death. And so that prompted the Woman, Life, Freedom slogan of that protest a few years ago. This protest is different in kind, as oftentimes protests are, in 2009 during the Green Revolution or the Green Movement. That protest was also different in kind. It was rejecting the election of Mahmoud Ahmadinejad at that time. But right now, this protest is unique in that it's led by those who are historically or traditionally supportive of the regime, mainly the upper-class merchants from the Tehran Bazaar, that class of individuals who are more conservative in general, given that they're business people. But Iran's overall weakened state, thanks largely to Israeli military and U.S. military efforts, U.S. sanctions, Iran is as weak as it's ever been. And then more recently, you've had a terrible drought. Mismanagement of its water resources has led the Iranian government to actually even consider relocating the seat of government from Tehran to another city to access water resources. And most recently, the plunging currency, the rial, is at an all-time low against the dollar, where the currency is effectively worthless. So all of this has come to a head, and it's unclear right now if there's an immediate spark, but certainly led to merchants seeing the value of their dollar depreciate almost on a daily basis that has then sparked these protests. In the last week or so, they have then spread beyond the initial core to encompass wider swaths of society, which suggests that there's growing support and there's momentum that certainly if the U.S. can harness it, you could see a change in leadership and regime in Iran. But not to get ahead of ourselves, a long way from now to then, but this is of a different kind and nature than previous protests.
This theocratic regime has been able to handle most of these historically, or at least in the recent past. Do you think this one is maybe of such a different flavor that it might be something, the outcome might be completely different?
It's certainly hopeful for that. You have a few key ingredients that are different than in times past. For one thing, as I said earlier, the regime is at its weakest point, likely ever. It is shown to be strategically and militarily weak, and the proxy forces that it arrayed for the better part of four decades against Israel and U.S. forces in the region have been destroyed. So the Iranian people see the expenditure of Iranian treasure on these foreign adventures, these foreign terrorist organizations, and ask, why not us? Why not spending the money back at home to better the lives of the Iranian citizens? So already there's awareness the regime is weak. On top of that, unlike previous protests, such as the one in 2022 where that young woman was killed, or the one in 2009 when people were rejecting the election results, this one is about economic conditions, largely but not solely. So that's another thing that's unique and more widespread. And in addition, the other factor here is President Trump himself. In 2009, President Obama, then recently had just taken office, he didn't do really anything to support the Green Movement protesters against the regime. In fact, because he wanted what became known as the Iran nuclear agreement, so he was not going to do anything publicly, at least, to side with the protesters against the regime, even though their demands were for legitimate elections and democracy. So now you have President Trump, who last June initiated Operation Midnight Hammer, taking out Iran's nuclear capabilities. So you have a president who is prone to taking decisive military action, prone to removing dictatorial leaders from their capitals, as we saw with Maduro in Venezuela a few weeks ago. So all this suggests that there's a new moment here that we're expecting to hear from the president actually later today about what steps will be taken. And getting back to the beginning of the conversation, previous protests, even going back 15 years, have not seen the kind of vociferous crackdown that the regime has been doing even right now. So all of this is just to say that there's all these new elements baked in here. However, at the end of the day, even if the Ayatollah Khamenei is removed from power, steps down, you still have a broad infrastructure that supports the regime that is still in place. So we are a long way from seeing, God willing, a democratic and liberal Iran emerge, but we could very well be on the path towards that.
Yeah, this one does seem, of course, I don't know what you know, but when you can't feed yourself and you don't have water and, your money is trading, I think the currency rate was, last I checked, was 1.4 million to one, to a dollar, mm-hmm. Rials to a dollar. I mean, it's like, I don't know that it's ever been that bad. But, you know, your level of desperation in a lot of the past instances, you tell me if I'm wrong, have been sometimes more regional. This one seems to be like it could end up being a lot broader.
Very true. And that's why I say when pains hit you in your pocketbook, it's felt very differently. Iranians have been used to a long time to having these pseudo sham elections. And in 2009, the Green Movement was largely built out of that or developed out of that. The belief that the Iranian people were essentially stiffed at the ballot box, though unsurprisingly. And then the one a few years ago in 2022, when that young woman, Mahsa Amini, was killed, that also horrific, but it also went after a different kind of demographic that was more localized to certain regions. Because also the last thing, one thing I want your listeners to understand is Iran is a very heterogeneous society. Only about 50% of the population is actually ethnically Persian. There are many other ethnicities, Kurds, Turks, etc., in Iran. So having an issue, a grievance that is spread across all these different ethnic identities and socioeconomic classes does suggest that you could have a longer sustained protest. So that fact that there's water mismanagement and a water drought, severe water drought, with, you're right, the 1.4 million to one U.S. dollar currency is the current rate, that means that people can't pay their bills. And that's why this has started in the bazaar with these merchants who are traditionally supportive of the regime. However, they're realizing that their businesses and therefore their livelihoods are threatened. So maybe time is for a change.
Daniel, when you look at big picture, it seems to me for the first time in a long time, and I don't know if this is, you know, it was brought about with intentionality or it's by accident, it doesn't really matter, but it seems as though the U.S. has China, Russia, North Korea, Iran, looking at a lot of international distractions where, from my perspective, it's usually the reverse. They have us, you know, having to deal with these little sideshows and distractions going on. And I guess this Venezuela piece of the puzzle has kind of brought this all more in focus. Your thoughts?
I think that's a proper assessment. You could view it as reactive versus proactive, in that the U.S. has for a long time, under different administrations, different postures, but been reactive to events, been trying to control countries through incentivizing, through carrots rather than sticks, to conform to the international system and order as we've created it, to develop good ties, etc. President Trump is obviously cut from a different cloth. We saw this during his first administration, but now, again, I think he's the catalyst, the reason you're kind of sensing this difference in the international arena today. Maduro is a very good example, but even before that, I'd argue it was Operation Midnight Hammer, because if you recall at the beginning of this administration, just about a year ago, the president came into office, particularly when it came to Iran, having implemented the maximum pressure campaign of sanctions during his first administration that was done away with under Biden. And he came back in office re-implementing essentially the same, although a bit of a lighter version, because his rhetoric was all about, well, let's give the Iranians some time to negotiate, to renegotiate the Iran deal, to actually get a good deal versus a deal that Obama struck and then Biden was renegotiating. So he gave them, set them a clock of about 60 days to negotiate, and which they did not do in good faith. And then on day 61, Israel launched Operation Rising Lion against Iran. And the president took that as a sign that he gave them 60 days and the 61st, go at it. And then he followed that up 12 days later with Operation Midnight Hammer. So the president's taking a much more proactive approach and looking to engage with our adversaries in these very tactical, specific manners to achieve specific policy outcomes for the benefit of the United States. I think China is certainly on notice. Russia is likely on notice, because when Maduro was nabbed out of his palace, essentially, in Caracas, the Ayatollah Khamenei was certainly seeing that. So all of these autocratic leaders were seeing that at the power of the United States. And now it remains to be seen what the president is doing. The Iranians are under pressure trying to get to him to relieve some of that pressure and negotiate. But right now, President Trump, whatever he decides to do, certainly will be a decisive action that kind of shakes the international arena.
We've got some folks that have asked at previous times that we've talked about this. How important has the U.S. policy relative to being very proactive against this shadow fleet that's out there? How much does that impact Iran?
It could impact a great deal. Iran has been able to survive economically largely because of oil sales to China and a little bit of Venezuela as well. So again, when the Trump administration acted against Maduro and then is now seizing Venezuela's oil trade, none of that's now going to Iran. Iran is hurting. And so this shadow fleet, which you referred to, which is basically illicit sale of oil to adversarial countries, is a prime spot to target Iran to inflict greater economic pressure upon the regime. China has been supporting Iran for many years, upholding their economy, particularly with the maximum pressure during the maximum pressure campaign. And Russia as well has been supportive of Iran. So there's an entire axis that's arrayed, not so much for something, but rather alignment of interest against something, which is the United States. So the shadow fleet is something certainly that the U.S. can go after and seize that would be short of obviously military action in Iran, but could also then push the protesters' fashion.
Yeah. The most recent comments, and I'm sure, as you said, the president is going to talk about this. If the numbers that you were talking about that were killed, it would seem to me the next move in his bag is going to be something similar to what we did before. I just have an eerie feeling about that, because if that number is as big as you say it the most recent reporting is, that's just a complete total annihilation and genocide.
Very well said. And it remains to be seen, though, that the regime in Iran is unlike the Maduro regime in Venezuela, and that if you remove the leader, you aren't necessarily going to actually get a compliant regime after the fact, because the IRGC, the Iranian Revolutionary Guard Corps, is the paramilitary force that's essentially been charged with defending the regime since its inception. But it's beyond that, it's really a class of business people as well. And so removing the Ayatollah does not mean that the regime itself will crumble. So it remains to be seen if a targeted strike, for example, will be sufficient. Likely not. However, if these numbers of a few thousands are accurate, or at least within the ballpark, it certainly crosses the president's red line of the regime not to engage in violence against the protesters. And the president has shown that he's willing to use U.S. military force and might wherever it needs to be applied.
Yeah, we'll wait and see, but I think things are going to start happening there real soon. And this is kind of a repeat. When he addresses the nation, it typically is an indication or a signal there's something that's about to happen, right?
Very true. I think we should all be weighing in his words for that, get some direction. He's already hinted this morning on Truth Social and then on X that help is on the way to the protesters. He's been hinting at this for a few days. So, and this president is certainly decisive in his action and, again, willing to use American strength, whether that's military or economic, to pursue American interests. And it is an American interest to see a different leadership in Iran.
Daniel Flesch, Senior Policy Analyst for Middle East and North Africa at the Heritage Foundation. Thank you so much for your time and most importantly, your insight. We truly appreciate it.
My pleasure.
Thank you, sir. We'll be right back. 504-260-1870 on the Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and text line. Stay with us. Well, folks, we covered a lot of territory today, starting out with my monologue about what's going on in Minnesota. It looks like I was just watching on TV. It's getting worse. And we went to Matthew Willard, who's newly elected councilman at large. It talks about a cultural reboot needing to be done in City Hall, and I couldn't agree even more. City administration, as well as checking in with Sheriff Joe Lupinto, the lowest crime rate in Jefferson Parish since 1974.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie. When you use Angie for your home projects, you know all your jobs will be done well. Roof repair? Done well. Kitchen sink install? Done well. Deck upgrades? Done well. Electrical upgrade? Done well. Angie's been connecting homeowners with skilled pros for nearly 30 years, so we know the difference between done and done well. Hire high-quality pros at Angie.com.
If you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, medical bills, or personal loans, help is here. More and more Americans turn to credit cards to get by. National Debt Relief is helping qualified clients reduce what they owe. For many, continuing to struggle making minimum monthly payments could take years to pay off. National Debt Relief has already helped over 550,000 Americans reduce their debt by negotiating directly with their creditors. When you call, you'll be amazed at how much you can save and how quickly you can become debt-free. If you want off the debt treadmill, visit nationaldebtrelief.com today. You don't need to declare bankruptcy, and you may qualify for significant debt relief. To find out what savings you may qualify for, simply visit nationaldebtrelief.com. That's nationaldebtrelief.com.
Here at Blue Apron, we know exactly how hectic school nights can be. That's why we created Assemble and Bake. Delicious one-pan meals that make family dinner simple. Just assemble the pre-chopped ingredients and put the pan in the oven to bake. Then you're free to help out with that last-minute diorama. Shop Assemble and Bake at BlueApron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit BlueApron.com/terms for more.
It's a new year, and it's time to get your picks in 26 with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop Bob's for hot new styles featuring the latest technology, like stylish sleeper sectionals with immersive Bluetooth audio, relaxing reclining sofas with LED lighting, and fabulous fireplaces with mood lighting and speakers, all at Bob's everyday low prices, of course. So if you want to refresh your room for less, save big by stopping in or shopping online at Bob's Discount Furniture.
Absolutely incredible dropping numbers, and I suspect 2026 is going to be even better. Talking about an in-game study as well of NFL fan bases and where they fall out politically, Jay Cicero giving us a forecast of 2026 as it relates to sport events, and then Daniel Flesch talking about what's going on in Iran, which is really, really dicey at the present time. And we understand that you can't always listen to every hour of the show, but if you'd like to listen to the show or you like what we do, you can check us out on Facebook, The Newell Norman Show, or follow me on X at Newell WWL. And you can also check us out on and listen to our shows, Tommy, myself, Dave Cohen, Scoot, Sports Talk, on the Odyssey app, iHeartRadio, or the TuneIn apps. We're pretty much everywhere you are. We make it really easy for you to pick up the show at a later moment. All right, we'll be right back. 504-260-1870 on the Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text Line. Stay with us. All right, folks, let's check in with Ian Hoke, who's stepping up for a few moments here for Scoot.
Should just be a few moments, Sheriff. Today on the Scoot Show, we're going to be talking, of course, about Mayor Moreno and Jason Williams and Jason Hughes' Lights On initiative. They're going to be focusing on improving city lighting. They think that's a good way to make some headway on public safety and quality of life. Also going to be talking a bit about potholes. They're really encouraging residents to use 311. As somebody who's used the 311 service quite recently, let me tell you, 311 really works. It gets stuff done. So if they want us to call 311 and say, hey, my neighborhood is dark or I got a pothole that needs filling, we should do it because that so far, so good. I think it really works. We'll talk about that and much more.
Absolutely. Sounds great. Ian Hook and Scooter on their way. Stay tuned. Hope you enjoyed today's show. We'll see you in the morning.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Confronting high credit card debt can feel scary. But the good news is, if you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, financial relief options are now available. National Debt Relief is currently offering debt relief designed to reduce what you owe, fast-tracking your way to being debt-free. If you qualify for debt relief, you may be able to pay back significantly less than what you owe and save thousands of dollars. Imagine only paying one low monthly program payment you can afford and saving money as you become debt-free. National Debt Relief has already helped bring debt relief to over 550,000 U.S. consumers, earning thousands of five-star reviews and an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. You're stronger than your credit card debt. Take the first step and visit nationaldebtrelief.com to see what debt relief you qualify for. That's nationaldebtrelief.com.
It's a new year, and it's time to get your picks in 26 with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop Bob's for hot new styles featuring the latest technology, like stylish sleeper sectionals with immersive Bluetooth audio, relaxing reclining sofas with LED lighting, and fabulous fireplaces with mood lighting and speakers, all at Bob's everyday low prices, of course. So if you want to refresh your room for less, save big by stopping in or shopping online at Bob's Discount Furniture.
Thy ticket, Lady Jennifer of Coolidge.
Well, many thanks, good sir. Heareth my Discover card.
They accept Discover at Renaissance fairs?
Yeah, they do here. Discover is accepted at the places I love to shop. Getteth with the times.
With the times? You're playing the lute.
Yeah, and it sounds pretty good, right?
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
Making plans with asthma can be awful. It always goes from, that sounds fun, to, in this weather, what if my asthma acts up? I got tired of saying no, so my doctor suggested Dupixent. I'm Rachel, and I'm sponsored by Regeneron in Santa Fe to share my story with real patients like me.
Dupixent, dupilumab, is an add-on prescription maintenance treatment for adults and children 6 years and up with moderate to severe eosinophilic or oral steroid-dependent asthma that's not controlled with current asthma medicines. Dupixent is not for sudden breathing problems.
Dupixent helps people breathe better in as little as 2 weeks. And now, I don't even think twice about saying yes to plans more, rain or shine.
Severe allergic reactions, including skin reactions, can occur. Get help right away for face, mouth, tongue, or throat swelling, wheezing, or trouble breathing. Tell your doctor right away of signs of inflamed blood vessels like rash, chest pain, worsening shortness of breath, brown or dark-colored urine, tingling or numbness in limbs. Tell your doctor of new or worsening skin symptoms, joint aches and pain, or a parasitic infection. Don't change or stop other treatments without talking to your doctor.
Do more with less asthma. Ask your asthma specialist about Dupixent by name. Visit Dupixent.com or call 1-844-DUPIXENT.